Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
I told Sandy, don't feel like you have to come here and be the savior.
And it is gone. Downtown goes Frazier.
Now this is downright embarrassing.
Just flat out stink right now.
Dale Arnold.
And I would have paid Russell Wilson everything they paid him.
But he should not be paid more than Tom Brady. I don't think anybody can dispute that.
Brady's at the end of his career. Tom Brady should take financial concessions now to have a better roster.
I just shake my head.
Rich Keefe.
Alex Cora doesn't trust Blake Swihart behind the plate.
I'm Captain Obvious.
Dale and Keefe.
Jerry says we should fight,
fight more.
No! On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Rawr, 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 rawr. That's how we should begin every show. Rawr, 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 rawr.
Why not?
Screaming and yelling and hollering and you know, be like Chris Sale. He's sort of depressed most of the time.
He kind of stinks now, huh? He's your guy.
But he's throwing it hard.
Yeah. Okay. Does he know where it's going?
I kept thinking of Giselle as I was watching.
Is that right?
Yeah, I was thinking of my husband can't catch the ball and throw the ball. Sandy Leone can't catch the ball and still throw the ball.
No.
It's great that he's throwing it hard when he has no clue where it's going.
No.
Would it matter who's catching?
Well, it's weird. It's been one of those. It's a terrible season, obviously, for Chris Sale. He's 0-4. He did lower his ERA from 9 to 8.5.
I'm sorry. After last night. You know, I think my Cy Young prediction's looking better.
It's getting there. It's starting to shape up a little bit. But the one start that he actually had good numbers as far as, you know, runs allowed was the game he was throwing 88-89. And you're saying, well, that's no good. Everybody was so mad about that. And then you have the start last night where he's throwing 97. And I understand that that's a hitter's ballpark. You know, some of those hits, you're like, okay, you know, maybe it wouldn't be. But still, he gives up 7 hits, 4 runs over 5 innings. This is 4 starts now. This has not been pretty for Chris Sale.
Jerry Remy put it best. We heard it during the open, but I heard it last night on the telecast. This is embarrassing.
It is. It's embarrassing. They're 6-12. This is a team that started last year 17-2. And they actually made improvements last year. So that 17-2 team didn't have the World Series MVP, Steve Pierce, didn't have one of the guys in their rotation, Nathan Eovaldi, and yet they had the best record in baseball. They win the World Series. They bring just about everybody back. The only guys they don't bring back are Kimbrel and Kelly, and the bullpen hasn't been really a problem, right? And those, so it's not like you've blown all these saves, and that you could maybe understand. Everybody else has been terrible. It's like the same roster. They went from the best Red Sox team in history to a team that is now having one of the worst starts in team history.
Now this is downright embarrassing.
And it is. I'm the glass half full guy here.
That's
sometimes
right.
Sometimes you take that role, but today it's my turn.
But if you want to try it
so
on.
So think back, if you will, Rich, to the 2002 Angels. Opened the season 6-14.
Okay.
Finished 99-63 and won the World Series.
Yeah. They have K-Rod in the system. Does this Red Sox team have K-Rod?
2001 Oakland A's opened 6-12, actually fell to 8-18, finished 102-60.
The Oakland A's?
Those are the only two teams in the wild card era
made the playoffs.
Who have started this poorly and made the playoffs at the end of the season. Mathematically, here's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Your chances of making the playoffs almost don't exist. How's that for a glass half full kind
of
thing?
Yeah, I like that, Dale. Thanks. That's a real pick me up. That's insane. How can you possibly be out of the playoff mix? And I don't think they are, but those stats would suggest that they might be on April 17th.
Yeesh.
Like, holy smokes. Like, they have just really taken it to new heights. You know, we thought that this team, and it's funny because, you know, Vegas certainly didn't expect them to repeat what they did last year as far as wins. They won 108 games. The Vegas over-under was it 95.5, 94.5 might have been the number that we did at the beginning of the year. And you're like, all right, well, that's a big drop down. It's still a really good team. If you win in the mid-90s, you're going to the playoffs. That's a good team. But everybody knew there was going to be a little bit of a come down from last year. But this is next level stuff. This is unbelievable.
And I mean, it is every area. Dave Dombrowski said last night, he spoke with the media before the game. And he said, you know, there's no area that is playing well. Now, I think he's being a little harsh on the bullpen, to be honest with you.
Yeah, they've been all right.
I mean, they're going to be burned out by Memorial Day, but they've actually been pretty good.
Yeah.
They're not hitting. They're not fielding. The starting pitching stinks. There are 131 starters in Major League Baseball, 131 who qualify as starting pitchers.
Okay.
The Red Sox have four of the bottom 13 in starters ERAs. The only one who's not
David Price.
Is David Price, and he's like 53rd.
I was gonna say, it's not like he's unbelievable,
no.
but that last start helped him. His ERA is actually below four. The other ones are all comical. The other ones are all like, all right, that's a bad start, but you got to be able to figure it out. But everybody else, I think the ERAs are somewhere between 8.5 and 11.5. It's like, what are we doing here? And I don't know, like, do you take away Chris Sale throwing hard yesterday and you say, all right, well, this is at least what he is? I guess, but he's still only giving you 5 innings, and you know the team's hitting him around, and he always says the right things after games, but still, 0-4 with an 8.5 ERA, those are the numbers. That's the reality. They have not won a Chris Sale start. Like, that's one of the reasons you're 6-12.
Yeah, forget about it. He hasn't won a Chris Sale start. They haven't.
You know,
I mean, even the game that he pitched pretty well, they lost 1-0.
Yeah. And again, that one was more on the bats than not. But, you know, last year he had a 2.11 ERA. So even though he didn't throw as many innings as you would have wanted him to, he was 12-4. We can look up whatever the team record was. I'm sure it was fantastic. And it was one of the reasons why you didn't have long losing streaks, was because every fifth day, here comes Chris Sale. And you feel like you're going to win that game. And you should feel that way about Price. You know, 3 years ago, you felt that way about Porcello. I don't think you feel that way anymore about him. And then you have Eovaldi, and it was kind of a wild card, I think, and Rodriguez. But when Chris Sale is not the dominant Cy Young candidate, that really has such a ripple effect on the rest of the team.
Team ERA is 7.18. Through 18 games, that is the worst in the history of the Boston Red Sox.
I mean, think about that. The Red Sox have been around a while. They weren't an expansion team with the D-backs. They've been around.
And they had some years where they were really, really bad.
Oh, my God. I guess.
Their team ERA is the worst in the history of the Boston Red Sox. When Jerry Remy says this is embarrassing.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
He's only scratching the surface of how embarrassing this is right now.
Yeah, that's something you can say on television. When you're just like, this team is embarrassing. But it's so much more than that. And Sandy Leon is back. Did that make an impact? It's one game.
Unless he somehow made Chris Sale throw harder.
Maybe he did. Maybe he felt more comfortable just letting it loose a little bit. It's unbelievable. The starters ERA is 7.18. The starters, and that includes a couple of those like openers,
yep,
who actually weren't that bad. Like that counts to Velasquez. The starters are 2-11. Think about that. You have almost, what are they paying? I mean, I guess Sale's money doesn't kick in really till next year. But you have an extremely high price. You have a $30 million pitcher in Price, 20 in Porcello, 17 in Eovaldi. I think Sale might only be 15, but we know he's getting a huge raise. And then I guess throw Rodriguez in there, and they are 2-11. The relievers, I mean, their ERA is, you know, under 5. It's nothing special, but they've at least scraped together they've gotten 4 of the 6 wins and only taken 1 of the losses so far.
All right, let's give you some credit here.
Thank you.
Well, believe me, it bothers me.
About time.
It'd be like if I gave
about
Mark
time.
James credit for something.
Oh, you're putting me in that category?
No, actually, I'm not. So you were concerned that, you know, the Dustin Pedroia thing probably wasn't going to work out.
Yeah.
It is safe to say at this point, you'd have been better off leaving him in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
He's now gone 3 straight days without playing at second base because apparently they're trying to protect him. Even if you stick Monday in and say, well, the ground's wet, we don't want to take any chances.
I know, but come on.
He's DH 2 games, didn't play yesterday. I think he's going to play tonight, I think. I mean, that's the idea. He's hitting like 103 or something.
Yeah, he's hitting a .105.
So why isn't he doing this at the minor league level to get himself ready? Why are you letting him do it at the major league level?
Yeah, I'm not sure. And it was weird because you go back to spring training where he said he was ready and he said the team was worried. And so the team sat him out for the road trip. So the first 11 games of the season, he wasn't up. Then you bring him up. And I just thought that, all right, if it's bad enough where you have to have a catcher play second base, like you don't feel good enough about having him play second base, like, what are we doing? And I know there was a trickle-down effect with Nunez and obviously, you know, the Holt injury and everything else, but if Pedroia can't play second, you need to play a catcher over him. man, I know a lot of people were hoping he would play 80-plus games. I can't imagine that he does it. Plus, he's going to have to turn things around at the plate a little bit, too. I mean, you can't just keep trotting him out there. He's a very small sample size.
Defensively, he's always going to be good.
He's going to be fine.
He's never going to be bad. Offensively, and it's fair to say, you know, he's been out for a long time. It's going to take a while to ramp that back up. My point is, why is he doing it at the major league level?
I don't know.
Why isn't he doing it in Pawtucket or wherever?
It's strange. I mean, go back to last year. It was very odd how they used him, and it ended up being completely wrong. They brought him back too early in the season, played three games, and then it shut it down for the rest of the year. He's back now, and they got to really kind of manage him. And it's like, all right, is he your starting second baseman, or is he not? And if he's a bench platoon player, not very valuable if you can only play so many days a week. And what, you're going to DH? Nah, I'm pretty sure they got a DH, thank you. They have the best DH in the league.
I really I like my DH, and you know what? He's really good.
Don't need Pedroia DH'ing on this team, right? Like, they might as well have Ortiz. At least Martinez has a glove, and he can play in the outfield if you need him to. But I'd rather just pencil him in a DH and go from there. The other thing, too, like you say Pedroia is good in the field. He normally is, but is his range as big as it used to be? Like, and is he diving for balls as he would? I know he said he's going to, you know, if it's a big lead, he may not.
I don't think there's a drop-off defensively with him out there.
I mean, especially the other guys are great.
Offensively, Nunez and Brock aren't doing anything either.
No, nobody is. None of those guys are hitting.
At second base, you've got several holes in your lineup.
Suddenly, you have three.
I mean, second base is a giant one.
Catcher, second base, center field. You just don't have hitters.
What happened to the Jackie Bradley Jr. new swing thing?
Please, Dale.
I know.
Please. We laughed at that
at the
time.
It's a rhetorical question.
That was so stupid. And people, there were so many. We should probably find all the articles and shame those people that said career. A lot of places, might even have been like Fangraphs and some of these stat-based sites, predicted a career year for Jackie Bradley. And I was like, what? A guy who's been in the majors, what, 8 or 9 years, all of a sudden? I don't know if it's 8 years, but however long he's been in the league, he's got a new swing now and he's good to go. Like, please. Like, he's an insanely streaky hitter. He's in a bad slump right now. He'll probably have a hot month just to get the average over 220. Then he's going to go into the dumper again. Like, that's just what he is. And so can the guys at the top of the order be good enough to carry the offense? Because you're going to have to carry the catcher, the second baseman, and probably Bradley. So can the other six guys make up for it? And really specifically, the top four guys, can they make up for it? So,
hey, Keith, if we're going to
shame somebody,
yeah. I think Eamon has where we're going to start the list.
Yeah, we're going to start with Rob Bradford.
Oh, Rob Bradford?
WEEI.com.
That's right.
We're going to post an article right now.
About Jackie Bradley being the man. Like, give me a break.
Well, his new swing.
Okay.
Hitting 160 with a 444 OPS in 15 games played.
So yesterday, reportedly, Dave Dombrowski met with the baseball staff, you know, the manager and the coaches, and they had a long hour and a half long session to sort this thing out. One of the things that came out of the meeting, obviously, was that they designated Blake Swihart for assignment. They brought up Sandy Leone from Pawtucket. Great. Fine. What else can they do?
Think about this for a minute.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Well, that's the other thing that's crazy
about
it.
Hey, Dustin, hit better.
Come on, try harder. I mean, I think they're trying. I don't know what it is. I don't know if this isn't a wake-up call. I don't know what will be. And again, I know it's early in the season, but you're losing to your bad teams. You're getting smoked by the Yankees. And the thing is with the Yankees, they actually have excuses. Take a look at their
DL lineup.
Like, everybody is out. Pitchers or starters, relievers, everyday players, they're all out. The Red Sox, who are they waiting on? Nobody. This is the team. This is everybody that they have. So, I mean,
you're going to make a big deal in April. No, it doesn't happen.
And even if you make a deal, like, what are you going to give up? Like, their farm system stinks. Like, they have nobody to trade in the farm system. And then you got to trade somebody from the World Series team. Like, you brought them all back for a reason. You can't punt on it now. You're going to have to be able to snap out of it.
No, you can't.
You punt on the season?
No, he is.
You get a good draft pick. Maybe.
I mean, I'm picturing what Alex Cora does, you know, day to day. They've got a couple of hitting coaches.
I think you take the cooler.
That's going to help,
right? You break the TV screen.
I heard the guys this morning talking about it, and I don't necessarily disagree. Alex, it's time to stop talking about what happened last year.
Oh, my God. It's
just leave it. Just, you know, don't bring up what happened last year.
Doesn't matter last year.
Because what you're seeing this year is so far removed from that. You need to just let that go.
I think that's been a big issue for them. And he said it at the beginning of the year because people would ask about the starters and what they did in spring. And he was like, well, this is what we did last year. And how'd that work out? Well, like, all right, you got to move on. And I'm not saying every coach or manager has to do it the way Belichick does, because you don't. Like, people have different personalities.
People have different personalities. I'm not saying you have to be that guy.
No, but one thing that I definitely agree with him on is once the next season starts, how does last year help you?
You know, whoever is doubting us what we did last year, I mean, this year, check what happened last year.
Stop.
Never mind.
I actually like Alex Cora. I think he's a really good manager. He needs to get off this one.
I don't even think Farrell did that. Did Farrell do that in 2014? Was he like, hey, guys, we won the World Series. Remember the World Series?
Want to see my ring?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm blinded by the glisten of the World Series ring in here. Even he didn't do that. So that's bad. And so the long road trip, then you come back. And I know a lot of people were hoping that, all right, you have the banner ceremony, you have the home opener.
And that's fine, by the way. I understand you do that and everybody celebrates. Great.
But
no issues with that. Now it's time to stop talking about it.
And that should have been a great time to say, okay, now it's officially in the past. I know it was game 12 of the season, but guess what? You got 162, so that's fine.
Like I said, Ryan.
Yeah, you gotta move past last year. And maybe
check what
it's
happened
tough.
Last year.
Yeah, I know. I know. You guys won. But now there's this year. So we can talk about this year. I think this year is reasonable to talk about. But, yeah, they have. And I think a lot of it has to be when you bring everybody back, you just won the World Series, you look around and you say, we probably just need to show up, right? Like, you just show up, we're probably going to win. I think that has to be some of the mindset, because it's not just Chris Sale sucks every fifth day. It's also getting guys hosed on the base paths. It's also miscommunications in the outfield. It's also, like, Mookie Betts has a completely different approach at the plate. Like, each guy, I think, is dealing with something. Some it might be contract-related. A couple of ways. Either you got the contract that you're happy about and you can relax, or you're putting so much pressure on yourself because you don't have the new contract yet and you're freaking out. And maybe you just sort of you take the foot off the gas pedal a little bit because you just won the whole thing last year.
I think, ultimately, you know, the guys who are playing poorly, most of them will play better. I mean, Mookie Betts is certainly a better player than what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, of course.
Chris Sale is clearly a better pitcher than what you've seen at 0-4 and an 8.5 ERA. My fear, though, and it's becoming a reality, I think, is that by the time they turn things around, it's too late.
It could be. I mean, I think the benefit is that the Yankees have been injured, and they have not gotten out to a start. That was another team that won 100 games last year.
And I still don't know if I buy into Tampa Bay.
I think Tampa's good. They're not this good. I mean, they're 13-4 right out of the chute. But they're definitely good. Like, what did they win last year, 90? Like, I think they could win in the 90s this year. But we all thought maybe, you know, you're going to have another year where you have three teams winning 90 games. And maybe they still do, but you've dug yourselves a bit of a hole. I mean, think about the rosters that Baltimore and Toronto have, and they have a better record right now. Like, those teams don't even want to win. They're scouting right now. They're looking at college baseball. They're looking at all these other, like, they could care less. High school baseball, they're like, who are we going to take? Oh, meanwhile, we have a better record than the defending champs, who have one of the highest payrolls in all of baseball.
The other question mark that came out of last night was postgame, and we were listening to Chris Sale. And we had this discussion in the office earlier. I mean, what do you want Chris Sale to say? Does he give the old, well, I don't know, the ball felt fine when it left my hand, which would drive us nuts? Or does he go the exact opposite route, which is, you know, he's now become a shame to his family? And I don't even know what I expect him to say anymore.
Yeah, he says the right stuff, but I guess how much credit should he really get for it? Right? Like, you're saying the right things, that's fine. It makes you likable, but that shouldn't really matter.
He says,
right?
He says the things that, as a fan, you know, you wish David Price would say when he doesn't throw well. Or,
right. But the only thing that matters is on the field. Like, again, it sways you into, if David Price...
You don't dislike him.
No.
You feel bad.
You like him a lot, but the reality is, if he goes out there and gets shelled, if he goes out there and has an 8.5 ERA, you can hate that, and you can also hate the fact that they signed him early. Like, it just looks worse and worse every time he starts.
Like I said, I don't know. I don't know. I gotta find a way to pitch better. I mean, this is flat out embarrassing for my family, for my team, for our fans. This is about as bad as it gets. I have to pitch better. I keep saying the same things, but at the end of the day, you go out there and give up four runs here, five runs here, seven runs here, not getting to the sixth, seventh inning like I should. I mean, that's who I am. I'm supposed to pitch the sixth, seventh, eighth inning, finish games and stuff like that, save our bullpen, cut it off when we're losing and keep winning streaks going. I mean, that's not who I've been. I got to get back to that.
The good news is he has until 2024 to figure it out.
Okay, well, we've got some time then, is what you're saying.
Don't you think? Yeah. I mean, that's what they did. They wanted to keep this guy forever.
Look, people like you,
yeah,
like you, Rich.
Realists.
Jerry Callahan, they shouldn't have signed sale to the contract. Yeah. Right now, you've got a bucket full of ammunition, yeah, and I'd be firing it away as if I were you as well.
Yes. Well, I mean, I actually thought he was going to pitch well the first half. That wasn't even my concern.
Right, right.
And so now that he sucks now, it's like this guy has started the last three All-Star games, meaning he would have won the Cy Young in the first half of each of those seasons.
Yep.
Then he falls apart. My concern was August, September, and hopefully October, not April. I didn't think he was going to suck in April, and so now on top of it, he sucks in April, and you have him for five more years after this. That is insane. That's looking worse and worse by the day.
And as he said, I just have to pitch better, which I agree. What do you do? I mean, if you're Dana Lavangie, what do you do? They've talked about the high def video replay stuff they're working on. Oh, great. Do all that you want.
Yeah, look at video.
It got him to 97, 98 miles an hour last night. Great.
Yeah.
He didn't have a clue where it was going.
I guess that's a positive.
He was missing locations by 2 feet.
Yeah, it's flat out embarrassing for my family, for my team, for our fans.
So they brought Sandy Leon back up because they knew it was getting a bit desperate for the pitchers. Now, the reality is Chris Sale pitched well to everybody last year. Vasquez, he threw to him 9 times, had a good ERA. He was a little bit better with Leon, but he's not as big of a split as some of the other pitchers in the staff. But Leon was up, and he was throwing 97, and yet still he could only go 5, and he gave up 4 runs. So it's just we've seen him throw hard now. We've also seen him throw, you know, in the high 80s for a start. It's been brutal. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what Alex Cora says to Sale at this point.
It's a sports triple header day. Actually, a quadruple header day, if you want to count the release of the NFL schedule as well.
Sure.
Why not? Red Sox play, Bruins play, Celtics play. And as the day goes on, we'll get more and more leaks. Usually,
we'll find out who they're
I can tell you right now when they're playing the Browns. According to a leak out of Cleveland, it's Sunday Night Football on October 27th.
Oh, okay.
So
mark it down, Rossi.
You know, these are the sorts of things that you get to. The Browns will open up on Monday Night Football against the New York Jets. Stuff
Browns
like that.
Jets, huh?
Yeehaw. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll talk all of those other sports as well. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, I thought we did a good job against them. They're an offensive line as well. Tavares had 47 goals. Marner's a 100-point guy or whatever he is. And Hyman chips in. So, you know, we've got to be careful. We keep them off the score sheet, too. Now, power play's a different animal. Guys can get going there.
Bruce Cassidy, that was yesterday, talking about Game 4 tonight up in Toronto. It's not a must-win unless you face elimination, but it's as close to a must-win as you've got if you're a Bruins fan. You come home tied 2-2. It's a best 2 out of 3. You've got home ice. You're feeling good about life. You come back home trailing 3-1. You're probably not going to win this series. And it would appear, at least as you sit here right now, that a couple of real powerhouses in the Eastern Conference are now gone. We know Tampa Bay had the best record in the National Hockey League in the regular season. They're swept out of the playoffs. We know that the Pittsburgh Penguins have got Sidney Crosby and Yevgeny Malkin and Phil Kessel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're swept out of the playoffs. you are playing for the opportunity against Toronto to play the Columbus Blue Jackets. And I'm not saying that's going to be easy. They just swept Tampa Bay.
Right.
But going into the playoffs, man, you'd have taken that in a heartbeat.
Well, going into the playoffs, Tampa was the only reason why I thought Boston wouldn't win the cup.
Yeah.
And you thought they would win the cup. And so they should win. Like, they were the second best team, I thought, in hockey. And Tampa Bay, we went over all the reasons why they were so good and everything else. But they're gone. So even though Columbus beat them, and Columbus is obviously going to be a tough matchup, they didn't have this whole team all season long. So it's not like they ended up being the last team in the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. But the reality is they are better than that based on all the moves that they made at the trade deadline. But still, the Bruins, despite being down 2-1, the road to winning the whole thing is right there for them. And that's why if they somehow let it slip away to Toronto, it would be even more frustrating.
Had a great off-air hockey discussion with Lou Merlone yesterday, and he brought up an interesting point about line combinations.
Mm-hmm.
He said, would you consider breaking up the top line on the road and then putting them back together when you come home Friday night, where you've got last change and you can more adequately adjust for the proper matchups? And it was an interesting thought, and yes, I said yesterday, I'm at the point where I'd break them up anyway, at least to start the game. It appears Bruce Cassidy's not going to do that.
Yeah, why?
I feel
like he should have done that in the third period of game three. I thought we should have seen that. And again, you're still going to keep Bergeron and Marchand together. Like, those guys are always going to play together. But get Pastrnak, get him away from having to go up against the best defensive, you know, forward line and defense pairing that Toronto has to throw out there. I would say home, road, I don't even care. Like, I would put Pastrnak with Krejci, throw Heinen up there, I don't care, with the top two guys, and see what they can do. Because last year, that line dominated Toronto. It was still a hard-fought series, but it was the reason why they won was those three guys at the top. That's not working this year. It just isn't. So they should change things up a little bit. Toronto clearly is a little bit better than they were last year. So that is at least one change that you can see.
Well, and I will say this, because Cassidy has, he's kind of had that Midas touch.
Mm-hmm.
Since he took over for Claude Julien, it seems like most of the buttons he pushes are the right ones. He's not afraid to make changes, you know, period to period. So it's not like even if he started with that line combination, he would be hesitant to change away from it. He is not hesitant. But this is going to be an interesting referendum on his coaching. You know, do you stay consistent? We know how good they are. We know that they'll go out there.
Well, because when we went through all the matchups going into the series, I thought the coaching advantage was with the Bruins.
Yeah.
I know Babcock has the better resume, but I thought at this point of their careers, I liked what
he's
what
got
Cassidy's
one more
doing.
Stanley Cup ring than Bruce Cassidy has.
True, and it's been a while since Babcock has advanced in the playoffs and all of that. But I think that this would have to be a time that you can't just keep smashing your head against the wall. So if they get out to say a slower start, or even if that top line is just not generating good chances, don't you have to consider if they don't do it at the beginning? I think that's a mistake. But you got to be quicker to make some changes there. He has to, and he did it during the regular season.
Oh, he doesn't hesitate at all.
That's why it was kind of strange. It was kind of uncharacteristic to see him just be so adamant that this line was going to figure it out. And we saw them, like, that group, whether it was 5-on-5 or the power play, which might have been even more frustrating, Dale, when they had the power play and they couldn't get anything going with that same group. So I think it's definitely time for a change.
It would appear, at least based on practice yesterday, that Marcus Johansson will go back into the lineup and David Backes will come out. It will appear.
It appears that
John Moore is ready to come back out off of his injury. Stephen Kampfer will come out. So those are the two roster changes that it looks like Cassidy will make tonight. Johansson in for Backes, Moore in for Kampfer.
So, and the thing that we always go to, I think at this point they're down 2-1, and I'm not putting that on Tuca. But I think the question, the topic is always going to go back to the goaltender. When the team isn't lighting it up the way that they are, is it fair to ask Tuca to play out of his mind? Right? Like there are times where, you know, the Mitch Marner, penalty shot goal. As soon as Marner had it, I'm like, all right, this is going to be a goal. But things like that, if you want to be the elite goaltender, do you have to basically steal a game? Like, I'm not even saying, the hot goalie. I'm just, forget the rest of the series. But for one game to even things up, the offense isn't going the way that you would want it to. Is it too much to ask for Tuca just to play out of his mind tonight?
No, it's not too much to ask. Now, I would say that if the Bruins play the way they're supposed to, he doesn't have to.
He shouldn't
the
have
way
to.
He, the no, way he the shouldn't. Team played in game two, he didn't have to play out of his mind at all. He just had to be solid, you know, do a good job. He was. He did. But they've got to play a lot better. They didn't play poorly in game three. They really
didn't.
No, they didn't. Their penalty kill sucked.
Yeah, that was a problem.
And that's what killed them.
Right. That was a huge problem. And so they got to figure that out. You wouldn't think, of all the things to bite them, going into the series, that well, you know, 5-on-5, if the game is mostly 5-on-5, that might be where Toronto gets them. But they've struggled, you know, the power play and the penalty kill have really kind of cost them. And even, you know, giving up a goal on the power play a couple of games ago. Like, those kinds of things have really gotten in the way.
So you've got game four tonight. You win, you're feeling great. You lose, you're not feeling as bad as Tampa. Can we just talk about the Tampa Twitter account for just a second?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I'm guessing some intern is in charge of the Tampa Bay Lightning Twitter account in the aftermath of losing four straight last night and getting swept out by the Columbus Blue Jackets.
And it's still the tweet's still up, by the way. They didn't delete this.
They went all Chris Sale on you here.
This was out of control. Do you want me to read it to you?
Yes.
So after they lost, the Tampa Bay Lightning, just at TB Lightning, tweets out, this is at 9:56 p.m., "We don't have any words, and we know you don't want to hear them. We understand your anger, your frustration, your sadness. Everything you're feeling, we get it. This isn't the ending we imagined, and certainly not the one we wanted. Thank you for being there the entire way." Did the organization fold? Are they done? They just moved the team?
It's embarrassing for my family, for my team, for our fans.
Like, if Kucherov died, they wouldn't have written something like that. That is unbelievable. So this got picked up a million times. This got retweeted a zillion times, got liked a million times. Like, that
there's some poor intern looking for a job today, probably.
Yeah, like, what are you doing? No, but they kept it.
I know.
They kept the tweet. It's still standing there. I didn't have to find a screenshot of it. It's still on their account.
I'm going to guess John Cooper hasn't seen it yet. You know, he's got other things going on in his life.
He's a little bit busy. But that is unbelievable. Like, that's an obituary is what they wrote.
Well, did you see they got swept? All right,
they did get swept, and it is the biggest choke job ever because people were starting to talk about them as like an all time team, and then to not even win a game in the playoffs is amazing. It's amazing. I'm like they're a wagon. How many times did we call them the Golden State Warriors of the NHL?
Yes, they
all
were
season
this
long,
year.
And they got blanked.
Not only did they lose four straight, I mean, they really
crushed in these games.
They had a 3-goal lead in game one.
Right.
Coughed up a 3-goal lead, lost game one, and just never recovered from it.
They lost 7-3 last night.
Well, they did give up three empty netters.
7-3.
That might be the most empty netters I've ever seen in a game.
Yeah, maybe put the goalie back in. Yeah, give yourself a chance.
I mean, I guess, what the hell? You got nothing to lose.
Yeah, they lost 4-3.
I was thinking of that caller we had about, you know, when they pull a goalie, they always score the empty net.
Yeah, you might be right. So 4-3, they lost the first game. And as you said, they had the 3-0 lead. Then they lost 5-1, 3-1, 7-3. Like, my God. That is just, and I know Kucherov was suspended for game three, but too bad. That was his fault.
It did kill them that Victor Hedman couldn't play the entire series. It killed them that Anton Strahlman was not available.
But they're so deep that it shouldn't matter in the first round.
A four-game sweep.
It shouldn't matter in the first round. Now, if you were missing all those guys against the Bruins in the second round and you lost, then you can maybe kind of get it. But for them to lose four straight to Columbus, who, again, I thought was going to be a seller at the deadline. They ended up acquiring a whole bunch of pieces, including Matt Duchene, who scored 3 goals in the series.
And let's give Columbus credit, okay, because they are all in. Jarmo Kekalainen and their GM went all in.
Yeah.
They've got 6 unrestricted free agents at the end of this.
They don't care. They're like the Marlins from 97.
And it's funny because you look at the Tampa Bay Lightning. They've got gigantic salary cap issues at the end of this whole thing. They've got to pay Braden Point. They've only got a little over $7 million in cap space remaining. So they've got issues. Columbus is going to have huge issues when all is said and
done.
They don't give a damn.
They don't care. They're all in for
now. We're going. And
they got a goalie that you figure he could do it too. Like,
he does once in a while implode.
He implodes at times, but he's also pretty talented. So, I mean, they could go a ways.
All right, we'll get to the calls with you guys in just a minute. Let me just give you the schedule for today. It's Wednesday. You know what that means.
I do know what that means.
Wiggy is in the house starting at the top of the hour. Well, that too.
Yeah, big day in my house.
It is Wednesdays with Wiggy, so he'll be in here from 11 to 1. You were going to say something, Jason?
Well, I was. Keith threw me off when he said hump day, but we do have an update.
You got to stay locked in. You got to stay focused. You can stay laser focused.
Well, today
if
we're
hump day is going to distract you, Rossi, I don't know what to tell you.
I'm easily distracted.
That's
but
true. Laser pointer.
Since it is hump day, we are going to get some information on the Russell Wilson Ciara video. She came out with a little Q&A and has a little background story to
okay.
it.
Okay.
Were they humping or were they not?
I'm telling you, that was post-coitus.
Yeah, she's being snide here, but she doesn't...
Are we teasing this or are you saying right now?
Tease it.
Oh, we're teasing
it.
Tease it. Tease it. Tease it. Come on.
She may or may not... Tease it! May or may not have answered the question. How's that?
We will talk...
I don't know what that means.
I don't know.
Are you more likely to listen after that?
No, that doesn't help me at all. And a little over an hour from now, Taylor Twellman's going to join us and talk about the Junior Seau 30 for 30 that ran last night and the relationship that Twellman and Seau developed. Seau reached out to Taylor Twellman for help with concussion problems and CTE concerns. We'll talk to Taylor Twellman just about an hour from now. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. I put up one of those quickie polls on
quickie
my Twitter
poll.
Account. We'll retweet it on the Dale Keefe account.
Yeah, retweet that, Eamon.
It's a simple question. There are the four things going tonight, the four events, if you want to count one of them as an event.
Oh, you're really stretching with that.
Well, I know,
event.
But I was trying to fill out the poll.
Okay.
I just asked a simple question. What interests you most tonight?
Oh, well worded.
Bruins at Leafs? Yeah. Pacers at Celtics,
uh-huh.
Red Sox at Yankees, NFL schedule release.
NFL's a monster.
383 people have voted so far. 77% say Bruins at Leafs. Pacers Celtics is second at 13%.
There you go.
NFL schedule release is third.
Over Red Sox Yankees.
At 7%. Red Sox Yankees dead last at
3%. Oh, boy. Yikes.
Now, it's probably a given that I have more hockey fans on my Twitter feed.
True. You did write the book on it.
Well, a book on it anyway. So it the numbers
it's gonna be
are
a little
probably
bit more.
A little skewed.
No, but think about it. It is so much more important when you take into account they're down 2-1 and this game is huge compared to Celtics Pacers. Yeah, you know, it's a playoff game, but if it's 1-1, not the end of the world. Red Sox-Yankees is a regular season game, and the Red Sox are a mess right now. And the NFL schedule, we'll probably know the Patriots schedule before this special airs, because they're going to keep leaking out which weeks and everything. I bet it'll before 8 o'clock tonight, we'll know the whole schedule.
We already know parts, bits and pieces.
Yeah.
As we said, we know that you're not opening with the Browns. There's a lot of people who think you're opening with Kansas City. But
and we know it's the Sunday night game. It's not the Thursday night game.
Right.
So like all that kind of stuff, we'll know.
All right, let's get to the call. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Bob's in Londonderry. Hey, Bob.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
What's going on?
Hey, I was just calling. I'm not really the biggest Bruins supporter or the fan, but I'd say right now things don't look really too positive. And one thing that I've always said long before the fact is that, and in this case, I'm probably not really faulting Tuukka Rask, but I've always had a nickname for the guy.
Well, what's the nickname?
I call him Mr. Softy.
Oh, jeez, that's pretty rough.
I don't think Mark James would go with this
one. Thing,
there's no real pun there.
True, but yeah. I've been saying it now for going on 4 years, wow. And at this point, let's just say the season doesn't go well. I'm just saying, you're never going to win a Stanley Cup with this guy. He may help along the way, but I've always said it, and all I'm saying is right, wrong, or indifferent. Well, so far, it hasn't really happened yet.
They have not won the cup yet. That is definitely true. They have not won the cup with Tuukka. No, that's a good point, Bob.
And I would say, all kidding aside, I've always said one thing about Mr. Tuukka-Rask.
Yeah, you call him Mr. Softy.
Mr. Softy, yeah.
Okay.
So keep going. I'd love to hear, what's the one thing? Or is that the... Oh, he's gone.
He's had enough.
This is Mr. Softy's theme song.
You know what I like to call him, and it hasn't really come up recently, but Fluka-Rask.
Fluka-Rask.
Because he used to bag out of games with the flu all the time.
Yeah, nice.
All the time.
I got one, too.
That's much better.
Puka.
Oh, there's a good one, Puka. Too. Yeah.
There was also the time he let in the soft goal, and everybody said the Rask. Rask? Gasp? That was a big thing. One of the writers in New York said that.
Well done.
The Rask gasp. Do you agree with Bob, Dale? They'll never win a cup with Tuukka?
No, I don't think that.
He's been calling him Mr. Softy, though, for 4 years.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But he also said Tuukka Rask's not been the problem in this series so far.
Right. So
he did say that, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's not a fan of Tuukka. That's fine.
That's fine. Mark's in Medford. Hey, Mark.
Hey, well, he is from Finland, so why not just call him Finlandia Swiss cheese?
It's a little wordy.
I hated that.
Anyway, guys.
I hated that one.
Dale,
Rossi, what the hell?
Dale,
what?
Just a suggestion here. I'm not a big fan of it, but please don't bite my head off. But if the Bruins come out to an early lead tonight, right, why not drop back into a neutral zone type trap deal? And that'll screw Toronto all up because they're not expecting the Bruins to come out with a neutral zone trap. They're expecting the Bruins to come right at them. But get an early lead and just shut down the whole second half of the ice.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of... I understand. I'm not a big fan of neutral zone traps. I'm not a big fan of I think inevitably it ends up burning you. I prefer if the Bruins get a lead that they continue to try to add to the lead. Be as aggressive.
Yeah, I think if anything...
Don't be stupid, obviously.
If anything, we saw their... Just the power play alone was tentative, and that was a bigger issue.
The power play, the first unit.
Those guys.
They were horrible.
They're like, what is going on there?
And I think they're scared to death about giving up another shorthanded opportunity and end up doing nothing with the puck.
Right. I think that happens all the time when you see teams that have a lead, even if it's a two-goal lead, they just want to... They're just so afraid of giving up a goal that they end up giving up a goal. They end up giving up two goals or whatever it might be.
It never fails.
Right.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Jermaine Wiggins will join us here in studio. We'll talk to Taylor Twellman about Junior Seau at about 11:45 or so, and we're not going to play
Mr.
anymore.
Mr. Softy.
We're not going to play any of that anymore.
Called him that. Four straight
years. I've always had a nickname for the guy.
Well, what's the nickname?
I call him Mr. Softy.
Yikes.
You did ask.
Yikes.
Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.